For those of you who missed the packing party, as you can see, we were able to fill over 130 shoe boxes. So, man, thank y'all so much. That's right. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity as a church in bringing the gifts, praying over the gifts. And then for those of you who got to come and help pack, man, we had a blast doing that Tuesday night. If you didn't come, you missed out, don't worry, you'll get a chance next year, all right? This is something hopefully we'll continue to do. But like I said, we did over 130 boxes. We did 100, which is what we had tickets out for. We had a few tickets left. So we bought 100 boxes because we figured we'd get a little bit of extra stuff, no problem. And then we finished the 100 boxes in about 20 minutes, and we looked down the tables, and the tables were still full. And so that's a good problem to have. We kind of looked at each other and said, well, we'll get some more boxes tomorrow. So we finished packing up those on Thursday morning, and then a couple took those boxes to be shipped out. And got to pray over them Tuesday night before we did that. And it was just a real special time of allowing God to take something small like a shoebox full of toys to advance the kingdom. And so that's our prayer. Our prayer was that God would anoint those boxes and the things in those boxes to be able to be used by missionaries to share the gospel all over the world. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity in that. Obviously, Pastor's still sick, so continue to keep him in your prayers. He's feeling a little better, but he can't talk more than a few minutes, and he goes to coughing and hacking and everything else. So that's why he's not here. He wanted to make sure that you knew that he's praying for you guys. He loves you all. He wanted to be here tonight, but just wasn't quite up to it. So just continue to pray for him. This week is Thanksgiving's coming up. And so, reminder, we won't have services this next Thursday. That'll give me another week to kind of get better and get things under him. The office will also be closed on Friday. Wanted to make sure you're aware of that. And then two quick things as far as the shoeboxes go, whether you helped with it or not. They have these cool prayer cards. These are daily prayer guides. And on the back of the bookmarks, it has just some things you can pray for each day as those shoeboxes go out. So wanted to make sure you were aware of that. And then also the new word for today is RN, all right? And so you can pick those up either at the country store or on your way out. All of those are for you. Excited about what God's given me for tonight. Obviously been thinking about Thanksgiving. As I was praying this morning and yesterday just about what God would have me share, I believe God guided me to this passage for us tonight. So let me pray over the word, and then we'll jump in. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight. God, we honor you tonight. God, we honor you, and we thank you for your presence. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just come and teach us tonight. God, speak to us tonight. Let us not walk away here the same way that we came in the doors. God, we love you and thank you. Look over your word as we open it. God, feed us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about in your house, but in my house, Thanksgiving has always been one of my favorite times of the year. It's just a lot of fun. Thanksgiving has kind of become about three things, right? Family, food, and football, and not necessarily in that order. Some of your orders may be different. I'm not going to talk about your order tonight, so it's okay. We're going to talk about some other stuff. For me, Thanksgiving was always my favorite time of the year because, one, my family got together, and we always had a lot of fun. You know, Dad was always real busy, but that was always those couple days, that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, those were always times where I knew we were going to be together and we just have fun. We just relax and do kind of whatever we felt like it. But really, if I'm honest, the reason it was probably my favorite holiday over all the other holidays is because it's the only time of the year that I actually got full. I don't know about you, but in my family, having two boys, my mom made a spread for about 50 people. Now, there wasn't but four of us there. I would literally eat until I could not eat anything else. And then I would go play for a little while and come back and eat some more. I remember one year I actually ate so much I didn't have any room for dessert. I just couldn't eat dessert. And I was kind of distraught over that because I love dessert. She makes banana pudding and pumpkin pie were the two things she makes, and I wanted both. She always say, which one do you want? I said, yes, just put them on the plate. You put the banana pudding on top of the pumpkin pie. I'm fine with that. Just get it on there. It's always this fun time of the year, but I think if we're not careful, we'll miss kind of what God has for us during that time of year. We can get so caught up in the holiday, so caught up in the family, so caught up in the food, so caught up in all of the festivities that we kind of miss what God would really want to do in our hearts that day. And so if you look at Psalms 100, verse 4, we're going to be kind of bouncing around a little bit here at the beginning. We're going to land in Acts 16 for a while if you want to open your Bibles there. But Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." The Bible connects thanksgiving and praise all over the place. The two go hand in hand. And so I'm going to use those words kind of interchangeably, but really what we're going to talk about tonight is praise, because you can't praise without being thankful. Now, you can be thankful and not praise, but you can't praise without being thankful. So I'm really just going to look at what is the power of prayer. And so I kind of broke it down real easy. We're going to talk about what is praise, when do we praise, and why do we praise. So pretty simple message, but I think if we'll listen to what God wants to tell us tonight, that it could change not just this next week, but it could really shake some things up in our lives. So first off, what is praise? Well, Psalms 150, verse 6 says this, "Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord." Praise is an expression. It's an expression of respect or gratitude as an act of worship. Praise is an expression of respect or gratitude as an act of worship. That's what praise is. Praise requires thankfulness. It requires gratitude. You can't truly praise somebody or something if you're not thankful for them, if you're not grateful for them. By its definition, it requires thanksgiving. Now, praise is also an expression. You can't not express praise. By its definition, you have to express it. And I think here, if we're not careful, a lot of times we get kind of stoic in this area and think, well, the Lord knows my heart. And I look at you and I'd say, yeah, he does. So make sure your heart's in the right place, because he does know your heart. But he requires, praise requires you to express that gratefulness. It requires you to express that thanksgiving, or it's not praise. And because of that, you know, a question I would ask is, why would we want to offer less than that to God? God's done so much for us. Why would we look for the way out? We ought to be looking for opportunities to praise and looking for opportunities to be thankful. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Why? "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into this wonderful light." We ought to be looking for opportunity to declare those praises, looking for opportunity to be thankful, looking for opportunity to show that graciousness. You may be feeling adoration, you may be feeling grateful in your heart, but if we fail to declare it, then we're not truly praising. And I think for a lot of us, that's one of the areas Satan loves to get us. He says, man, listen, you can just be quiet. You don't have to actually thank God. You don't have to actually spend time praising. Just you feel that in your heart. And I think if we study God's word, we find that God encourages us to let those things out. Sing those praises, and there's a reason for that. And we're going to look at that reason. Why do we praise God? If you have your Bibles, open it up to Acts chapter 16. I'm going to start reading in verse 22. But the story right before that is where Paul casts out the demon of a slave girl. And they arrest him because now the master can't make money anymore. And so we're kind of picking it up right after that. And we're going to look at how Paul praised in prison. It's a pretty common story. You've probably heard it before. But I want us to listen to what we can learn from Paul. It's starting in verse 22. It says, "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison's doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison's door open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We're all still here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all those in his house. And at the hour of night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. he and his whole household. And as I read that passage, I realized there are seven things that praise can do for us. There's seven things that when we offer praise to God, when we have a grateful heart and we offer praise to God, there's seven things that happen. And the first thing is praise positions us to enter into his promises. You see, Paul and Silas were on mission. They knew that they had things to accomplish, and no matter where they were in their process, no matter where they were in their progress, no matter where they were in their story, they always offered praise to God because they knew there was more to be done. They knew that God had a bigger plan. Psalms 100 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." The way we enter into his promises is with thanksgiving and with praise. We talked about in the tabernacle, we said that Jesus is the way, but praise is the key that opens the door. Thanksgiving and praise. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Paul understood that he had a call in his life and work still needed to be done. So now, no matter where he was, Paul understood that praise was necessary to get him to the next step. Praise was necessary to get him to the promise of God, the next thing God had for him. The second thing it does is God shows up when his people praise him. God shows up in the situation when his people praise him. We talked about this last week a little bit, but Psalm 22:3, again, it says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." As Paul and Silas sang out, as they praised God in the middle of the prison cell, what happened? God stepped into their situation. God met them where they were. God came into the situation and changed the situation. When we choose to praise God, it invites God into our situations. It invites God into those prisons. It invites God into the areas that we need him to move. So praise shows up when, or God shows up when his people praise him. The third thing that praise does, praise is a weapon of spiritual warfare. Praise is a weapon of spiritual warfare. Listen to what Matthew 18:18 says. It says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Here's what we need to understand. When we praise God, when we worship God, God steps into our situation, chains begin to break in the spiritual realm. And when chains break in the spiritual realm, things happen in the physical realm. When God stepped into that prison, the door shook and chains fell off. Freedom happened. Why? Because praise is an element of spiritual warfare. I've said this many times, that freedom is not the absence of something. It's not the absence of chains. It's not the absence of prison. It's not the absence of circumstances and situation. Freedom is the presence of someone. Freedom is when God is with you in the middle of those things. Freedom happens in jail, in prison, when God meets you in prison. Freedom happens in the middle of your circumstances that you don't understand when God is with you in those circumstances. 2 Corinthians says it this way. It says, "Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." Where God's Spirit is, we find freedom. Praise is a weapon of spiritual warfare. Number four, the fourth thing that praise does. Praise causes confusion in Satan's ranks. Satan's goal is to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he knows how to do. That's all his demons know how to do. That's all they're after. But what happened when Paul and Silas begin to praise, God shows up, chains fall. Notice everyone's chains fell loose. Everyone received a form of freedom. Satan has no control when God's present in the room. Satan has the illusion of control. Satan lives under the threat of control, but God is still on his throne and God is very much in charge. It causes confusion in Satan's army. He has no idea what to do. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is the story of Jehoshaphat. And it's a story where Jehoshaphat comes and he doesn't know what to do. He's got armies that are coming to attack him. And so he seeks God, and God's instruction to send the worshipers ahead of the army. And so Jehoshaphat sends the worshipers ahead in front of the army. And the Bible says that it caused the army so much confusion that they turned and fought each other. That's a picture of what happens in the ranks of Satan's armies. When we begin to praise in the middle of our circumstances, when we begin to praise in the middle of our prison, it causes confusion. If you haven't read that story, go read it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's a great story of how the presence of God just confuses. Satan doesn't know what to do. It throws him into confusion. The fifth thing that praise does, praise aligns us with heaven. Praise aligns us with heaven. Paul shouts out to the guard not to harm himself. He says, whoa, don't hurt yourself. We're all here. Why? Because Paul had the heart of his father. He wanted to do something in that guard's life. He was saying, listen, there's no reason to kill yourself. We're here. God's got a bigger plan for you. God wants to share his gospel with you. There's good news. Let me talk to you about that. Fear is faith that God's going to fail. Praise gives us back heaven's perspective on the situation. It allowed Paul to even be in the middle of the prison, even after being flogged and beaten. It allowed Paul to sit back and see the jailer as somebody who God was interested in, who God loved. And so his response was, listen, don't hurt yourself. We're still here. Let me talk to you about Jesus. The sixth thing praise does, it's evangelistic in nature. The reality is when we brag on the goodness of God, it brings people to Him. When we praise in the middle of our circumstances, as bad as they may be, it confuses people. They want to know what's different about your life. How come you can praise God in the middle of this problem you're going through? Look at what happened. The jailer looks up after Paul says, don't hurt yourself. And the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? I'm confused. Why didn't you leave? We beat you. We flogged you. We had you in prison. God set you free and you chose to stay. What do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to have a relationship with a God like that? Psalms 40, verse 3 says, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. What happens when we're saved? God gives us a new song. I think one of the problems we have in a church is that too many believers today aren't singing their new song. They're just echoing the world's song. They're saying the same thing the world says. They look around and they in the churches, and you see just as much fear in the churches as you see in the world. You see just as much racism in the church as you see in the world. You see just as much sexism in the church as you see in the world. You see the same concerns that the world's dealing with, we're dealing with it the same way instead of singing a new song. Instead of praising God and understanding, listen, God is still in control. He's still on His throne. Nothing's changed. We don't have to worry. We can praise God. We can be thankful to God. We have to learn to sing that new song that God put in our mouth. And when we do that, when we sing that new song, the Bible says that it draws people to God. It causes people to question, what's different about you? Why aren't you stressed out? Why aren't you worried about this? Why aren't you responding the way I would expect you to respond? Because God's given us a new song. If the church would stand up and sing the song, the new song as citizens of His kingdom and put His kingdom in charge in the lives around them, then it would change the world. The world would stand up and take notice. And then the seventh thing that we see that praise does is praise teaches the next generation about the goodness of God. The jailer wasn't the only one that got saved. The whole jailer's family got saved. Colossians 3:16 says this. It says, "Let the world of Christ, or the word of Christ, dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." One of the things I love about my kids is they love worship music. I love worship music. That's all I play. I don't even play Caleb. There's nothing wrong with Caleb, but I don't want commercials. I don't want anything interrupting. I just want straight worship music. So I've got worship music that plays all the time. Well, my kids love music, and I'm so thankful they love music. But early in life, they've always had our music. There's nothing wrong with having kids' music and kid-friendly music. That's good. But I wanted my kids to learn worship music. I wanted them to know the songs about God. And so they learned early on. Trenton, I remember when he was real small, one of his favorite songs, and is still one of his favorite songs today, is Never Let Go. The chorus just says this. It says, "Oh, no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh, no, you never let go, from every high to every low. Oh, no, you never let go of me, Jesus." And I can think of time after time after time again when he's run into our room and upset about something or not sure about a storm or whatever the case may be, he can begin to remember those words that are so true. Oh, no, you never let go. You never let go of me, Jesus. Truett, my youngest, he loves music too. And one of his favorite songs right now is a relatively new song just called Abba. Listen to the chorus of Abba. It says, "You're closer than the skin on my bones. You're closer than the song on my tongue. Your thoughts define me. You're inside of me. Lord, you are my melody. Abba, I belong to you." I belong to you. When my kids run into trouble, when the world throws them things that they don't understand or that they don't know how to deal with, they have words that help them hold on to God's truth. They have praise songs that have instilled truth into their hearts. It moves from one generation to the next. I'd be willing to bet that most people in here can probably remember more songs than they have scripture. Right? In fact, I think most people probably learn a lot of their theology from the songs they've sung. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. One of the reasons you love hymns so much is because you have spiritual memories attached to those hymns, and there's theology that you've learned through those hymns, and so you've walked through spiritual battles with those songs on your hearts, right? You understand that. That doesn't change from generation to generation. The songs change, the tunes change, the sound changes, but the reason my kids love that music so much is because it's teaching them spiritual truths. It's teaching them about who they are. It's teaching them about who God is. It's teaching them about His love for them. It's teaching them that they can trust Him no matter what the circumstances are. Praise teaches the next generation about the goodness of God. Well, if all that's true, and it is, then why don't we praise more often? And I think the answer is in the story. I think because so often what happens is Satan gets us distracted with problems. And we allow things to just draw the joy right out of us. As a pastor and a pastor's kid growing up, I hear things like this all the time. You know, the people be walking around, they say, "Praise God. Man, isn't God good?" And there's nothing wrong with those things. Those are true statements, okay? I'm not arguing that. Don't go there. But I wonder if sometimes those have just become kind of a Christian rhetoric that we just say and don't necessarily think. Maybe you go out running in the morning and you ran 5 miles and you did really good and you say, "Man, God's good." Well, God is good, but that didn't have anything to do with you running 5 miles, right? God's good, the statement's good, but I think sometimes we have a disconnect. Or mom was in a good mood today, praise God, right? Thank God she didn't kill me today. I probably deserved it, but praise God. Or, you know, the boss is out of town till next week. Praise God. That has nothing to do with Dennis being gone, just so we're clear. That's not where that came from. We miss Dennis. We pray for Dennis. We love Dennis, all right? Facebook shows this all the time. You see these things all over Facebook. You know, God is good. I shot a big 10-point buck today, right? Or this one especially jumped at me, and I almost don't know if I should share it, but no matter who you voted for, we see, "Oh, God is good. My candidate won." Here's the reality. God is good. Not because somebody won, not because a buck walked out, not because mom did or didn't fuss at you. God is good because that's who God is. Amen. God is good because that is who He is. And so I wonder sometimes if we allow our circumstances to define how we're going to praise and how we're going to be thankful. And if Satan doesn't know that and Satan doesn't start meddling with our lives. And when Satan begins to meddle with our lives, we lose track of the goodness of God. God's good not because of what He does, what I want Him to do. God's not just good in the good times when He's doing the things, when He's blessing me, when I'm getting my way. God's good during those times, but God's also good in the times when I don't get what I want. He's also good when God doesn't answer the prayer the way I want Him to answer. He's also good when things are falling apart. He's good when I'm in the middle of prison. He's good when I don't understand the circumstances around me. God's goodness does not rely on His circumstances or our circumstances, rather. Paul understood that. Paul was preaching the gospel. He was doing the thing God had called him to do when he was arrested and beaten. Now, he could look up and say, "God, where are you? I don't know that you're that good." But Paul recognized that God's goodness didn't depend on his circumstances. And so he praised God. He worshiped and invited God back into those things. Now, praise isn't a denial of our circumstances. It's not living in this false world where, you know, everything's great no matter how bad things hurt. It's not what God's saying. It's not what I'm saying. Praise declares the goodness of God in spite of our circumstances. I'm not suggesting that we have to go around all the time with smiles on our faces and act like nothing bad ever happens. Praise is choosing to worship in spite of those circumstances. And in spite of everything falling apart, in spite of the things we don't understand, I'm going to choose to praise. I'm going to choose to worship because God is worthy. If you read through the book of Revelation, you see this all through it. Times when saints are victorious, God's praise. Praise is the one thing that happens around God's throne 24/7. It's the one thing that's happening as we speak right now. When the saints are facing trial in Revelation, God is praised. When plagues and war and pestilence are all over, God's being praised. When the Antichrist comes, God is being praised. When the Antichrist is cast down, God is still being praised. And I think for us, as I thought about this passage and I read through the account of Paul and Silas, there's one verse that kind of came to mind and came to heart. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. It says this. It says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." I think a lot of times what God allows is a shaking of our lives so that we learn to live for the things that can't be shaken, for the kingdom that He's already established. And we learn to be thankful and praise a God who doesn't change with our circumstances, whose goodness is always there, whose goodness we can always rely on. And so as we close tonight, and the guys come up and begin to play, I want us to spend some time asking God, what is it in my heart that's getting in the way of me praising You tonight? It's funny, we were watching last Sunday, we watched a movie called The Insanity of God, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's not really an entertaining movie per se. It's more of a documentary, but it's a challenging movie, and there's a part in that movie where you can almost see the story of Paul and Silas playing out in real life. The story is about a guy, and these are all real stories, but it's about a man in Russia, or that area of the world, and he's just an ordinary guy. He's an ordinary dad. He's got a couple sons. And he begins to feel prompted to read the Bible to his sons. And so every day he gets up and he reads the Bible. And he doesn't understand a lot of it, but he begins to learn the stories as they do this every day. And so what happens is the sons begin to learn the stories of the Bible, and they begin to share them with friends. And so as the years progress, this ordinary dad of two ends up with about 70 people come into his house every day to hear God's word. Well, in this country, that's not something that's looked upon lightly. And so one day in the middle of this gathering, this dad, this isn't a pastor, this isn't a missionary, this isn't somebody who's be persecuted, he's just an ordinary guy, is arrested in front of his family and all these people that are coming. And they put him in prison, and they put him in prison for years, determined to break him. Determined to convince him that God's not real, He's not worth it. It's just not worth it. And every day while this man is in prison, he gets up and he sings what he calls his heart song to God. Every morning he wakes up and he faces the east, he faces the only window he can see out of, and sings a heart song to God. Well, as time passes, the guards decide they're going to break this man. So they dress a woman who looks very much like his wife in his wife's clothes, and drag her across the front of his cell with her face facing outward so he can't see who it is. And for 3 days they beat her until she dies. And so this whole time, this ordinary guy who's waking up every morning and praising God hears what he believes to be his wife being beaten. And then finally, after she's died, they drag her back across the cell and say, "You're next, unless you'll renounce God." And so he had to deal with this. Is God worth it? God, all I was doing is reading Your word to my kids. And this thing grew. This wasn't my plan. I didn't plan to have a house church. I didn't plan to make... I was just obeying. Well, he goes to sleep that night. And the next morning, the guards walk in. And all he has to do to get out is just sign a paper renouncing God. And he's sitting at the edge of his bed with his shoulders back. And the guards walk in and they give him the clipboard, and he says, "I'm not signing that." said, what do you mean you're not signing that? We'll kill you just like we killed your wife. He says, I'm not signing it. Last night, the Holy Spirit woke me up and I was able to see my wife praying and worshiping God. And I was able to hear her voice and I was able to hear my sons. They haven't renounced God. I'm not renouncing God. You see, it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. He recognized that God's worth it no matter what. God is good because He's God. And so as they stood this prisoner up and were fixing to take him out of the cell, the coolest thing happens. Every person in the prison stands up at the front of their cell and begin to sing his song. They begin to sing his heart song out to God. Now these were prisoners who weren't radically changed by his life. In fact, a lot of them had beaten him. A lot of them had insulted and made fun of. But you see, God stepped in because he praised God. God stepped into his circumstance. God stepped into his situations. I wonder how many of us are sitting, maybe not in prison, obviously, but are sitting in a circumstance that just seems unbearable. Where we have news maybe that's just completely crushed us. My question is God worth it? Will you stand and praise God? And so I want to do something tonight that's kind of different. A lot of pastors would advise against it. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so what I want to ask is if there's some of you out there that will just pop up and testify to God's goodness. Just a sentence. We don't need a long story. Just praise God. Be thankful for God. Because there's people in here that as they hear you praising God, as they hear you being thankful for who God is, it'll do something in them. And so as Nathaniel plays for just a moment, if God lays it on your heart, just stand up and praise God. Thank Him for something. Be specific. Amen.
Y'all know I had a heart attack, bypass surgery 6 years ago, roughly 6 years ago. It was a scary time in my life, but through this church, I realized that people are good, God is good. And if it wasn't for the church, I don't know what I'd done. I mean, y'all do super, your prayers and your outreach. And all I do is bless me.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God is good. I went to the doctor in 2013. My back was hurt. And they said, man, you're eat up a pinch.
Amen.
God is good. And I can't talk about this without getting emotional. But 30 years ago, I had a major heart attack. And gave me 12 hours to live. I'm still here.
That's right. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. That's it. Praise God. Amen. It's just story after story after story after story of God's goodness. And so, as we close tonight, I want to pray over you. One more. Amen. Amen. I want to pray over you here, and then we'll be done. But what I want us to remember this week, and really beyond this week, is that our circumstances shouldn't dictate whether or not we can celebrate Thanksgiving on a day after day basis. Our circumstances don't dictate whether or not we should be able to praise God. And if we'll learn to praise God in the middle of the most difficult circumstances, 9 times out of 10, that's the very thing that will break us free from those problems. And even if He doesn't, He's still worthy to be praised. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for who You are. God, we love You. God, we don't deserve a relationship with You. But God, You, because You're good, because of Your goodness, You sent Your Son to die on the cross for my sins. He took my punishment. And so if nothing else is ever done to me, God, for that I'm grateful. God, I pray that You would remind us of Your goodness as we go from here. God, I pray that we wouldn't leave this place without being sure in our heart that You're a good God that loves us and has the absolute best in mind for us. God, that even when we don't understand the circumstances, even when we don't understand why life seems to be falling apart, we can trust in Your goodness. And we can know that all things will work together for our goodness when we love and we praise and we worship You. God, I pray if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that doesn't know You, God, that Your goodness would draw them tonight. God, we thank You for tonight. God, we pray for Pastor. We pray that You would touch his body. We pray that You'd heal him even now as he sits and rests. God, we pray that You'd give him a fresh word. Just love on him. God, we pray for Glenda as she takes care of him. We pray that You would just again pour Your grace and mercy out in that home. God, let them feel Your presence even in the middle of their sickness. God, I thank You for this church and what it means to me and my family. God, I pray that we are a people that are known for singing a new song. God, that we wouldn't echo the world's song of despair, confusion, and fear. But God, that we sing a song of joy, a song of thanksgiving, a song of gratitude, a song that points people to You. God, we love You and thank You. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.